Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to talk about land trusts next. And the Wisconsin Land Trust community has grown a lot over the past 30 years. I think they started with around a dozen organizers in the mid-90s to, I think, 41 organizations today. And our next guest will talk about land trusts and the new land conservation law program. Mike Carlson back with us once again. Mike's the executive director of Gathering Waters. Mike, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be back on with you.
And Chris Gutchenritter is new. In fact, he's the new director of the Land Conservation Law Program with Gathering Waters. And Chris, welcome to you. Thanks for joining in today.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us.
So as we talk with these two experts today, I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about land trusts? Join the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email. Email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Mike, for those who aren't familiar with Gathering Waters, let's talk about the organization.
Sure, yeah. So Gathering Waters was founded in 1994. And as you described, Larry, at the time, there were about a dozen land trust organizations working here in Wisconsin. And so we've really helped to play a role in growing that community of organizations from that 12 up to 41 that exist today. I think it's probably worth just at the beginning here kind of mentioning or describing what we mean when we say the term land trust.
Yeah.
It's often, you know, interchangeable with the term land conservancy as well. And really what we're referring to are 501c3 nonprofit organizations that have a primary mission of protecting land for any number of conservation purposes. It could be wildlife habitat, outdoor recreation, water quality, protecting farmland and forest lands, any number of different conservation priorities. But our role at Gathering Waters, we kind of have three primary roles as a state association for all of those land trusts. And really, we support land conservation by supporting Wisconsin's land trusts. We do that in kind of in three main ways. We advocate for public funding for land protection, mostly at the state level. We help to promote the work of land trusts and the value of land conservation. And we also bring the land trust community together for learning and leadership development. And we're excited today to share a brand new program, a focus area for us, which is the Land Conservation Law Program. And we're just thrilled to have Chris having joined our team just starting a couple of weeks ago as our first ever director for that program.
Yeah, and Chris, maybe you could talk about, give us, to start with, some of the overall basics of this program.
Sure. So a general trend facing land trusts in the state right now is that since the conservation easement, which is our primary tool that we use to protect land, first became popularized really in the 70s and in the mid-80s, a lot of the legal practitioners are coming to age out of practice. They're either retiring or soon to retire, and this leaves our land trusts with a real lack of support around the work that they're doing, which is so important to our communities and landscape and the conservation values that Mike mentioned. So a group of us got together over the past really probably a year plus now and sort of talked about this issue of legal support and other professional support sort of aging out of practice and how are we going to address it. And after several meetings and conversations, we landed on the concept that really Gathering Waters was well suited to play host to a service that could fill that gap for these land trusts. So we're really focusing on providing, you know, low cost, affordable legal support to these land trusts so that we can do better conservation transactions and protect more of our threatened resources in the state.
You know, Jake in Appleton's up with a question that I think may relate to just what you were talking about. Let's go there. Jake, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. How would a resident or, you know, really track changes, updates, and news with land trusts in the state of Wisconsin? Thank you.
Yeah, great question, Jake. And you know, certainly Gathering Waters does that at the state level. And we've got a few ways that we do that. We've certainly through our website, which is gatheringwaters.org, through our social media feeds as well. Larry, I did want to highlight for folks that one great way to sort of connect with the land trust community here in Wisconsin is something that we call Wisconsin Land Trust Days, which is a series of fun outdoor events that land trusts across the state are hosting, actually starting today, so in late July through early October. And we have 37 events that are registered for Land Trust Days, and including more than 50 properties that are open to the public that are featured on our website as well. So that's kind of a nice way to get a kind of a cross-section, a feel for the kinds of land trusts that are working in the state and some of the great, a chance to visit some of the really beautiful places they've helped protect. You know, I think also would urge folks really to reach out to your local land trust, whether you're a landowner looking to conserve your property or someone that just cares about our natural resources and conservation. Land trusts are really wonderful community-based organizations. In the Appleton area, we have the Northeast Wisconsin Land Trust is headquartered there. And each of these land trusts have boards of, you know, a board of directors and a really strong group of supporters. And so we'd really urge folks to reach out to those local land trusts as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As I looked at the map on your Gathering Waters site, I saw lots of red dots that were indicating various properties. And how many properties do you, I think it was something like, what, 1,800 or something like that throughout the state?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, we have Land Trust currently protects just over 1,800 properties, and that's totals just over 200,000 acres of land. So a really impressive portfolio. It's also worth noting that a number of our Land Trust members work with other entities like local governments, counties, municipalities, the DNR, to help them with their land protection goals. So really, I think the cumulative impact of Land Trust work across the state even exceeds that. Those 1,800 properties and the 200,000 acres, but it's really an impressive you know, movement around the state.
For sure. Eric in Oneida County, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, recently our politicians chose to try and bring some legislation on the Knowles Nelson program, which would have, I believe, weakened it, would have made it more of a flipping property and flipping properties and selling and buying properties by towns or whoever would be participating at a profit. Now, Gathering Waters was very much against this. I appreciated the work they did when they immediately came out and contested this legislation that would have been pushed through pretty quick. It was right at the end of the session. Now, along with Gathering Waters and other environmental groups, we were able to push back pretty hard without much notice to contest this legislation. I'm just wondering what their position is now on that. Are they expecting our politicians to bring this back? Because I truly believe there is no public support for what they wanted to do, which probably had a lot to do with how they tried to shoehorn it in right at the end and get it voted on.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a really important question, a really important point. So I think it actually, you know, for the purposes of the conversation today, I think it really speaks to the fact that legal services and you know, ensuring that the projects that we do pursue are as sort of legally robust as possible is critically important. But we also, I think all of us in the state, everyone who cares about conservation also needs to be thinking about being a participant in the political process and communicating with elected officials about why conservation matters, why public programs like the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program that was mentioned, which, you know, for decades has provided funding to nonprofits and local communities and the state for a whole range of public lands and outdoor recreation infrastructure, you know, reaching out to elected officials to really tell them why continuing to fund those programs and continuing to support conservation is so important. It's clear this is a bipartisan issue among the public. We've seen polling consistently over the years that show 90% plus support, you know, among members of the public for continued funding of our public lands, regardless of political affiliation. So this really, among the
really
public, is an important issue, but it's something we need to make sure elected officials are hearing about.
And we can talk some more about that. And certainly we're going to go in more depth on the Land Conservation Law Program with our two guests, Mike Carlson and Chris Guttenschatter. We'll take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with our guests. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about Gathering Waters on the show today, a nonprofit organization that helps land trusts, landowners, and communities permanently protect the places that make our state special. With us, Mike Carlson. Mike is the executive director of Gathering Waters. And Chris Guttenschatter, our other guest, is the new director of the Land Conservation Law Program with Gathering Waters. So as we visit with them, I really hope you'll join in. Questions do you have about land trusts? What have your experiences like? What have they been like if you have been involved in a land trust? I hope you'll call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Ron in Manitowoc County, we'll go to you. Ron, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. In establishing a land conservation easement, an appraisal is needed to take advantage of some tax programs. These appraisals are extremely expensive compared to other appraisals, and I'm wondering if there's a list of appraisers who would be qualified within the state to make these appraisals.
Well, Mike, do you guys have such a list, or?
We don't have a statewide list, and Chris, I'd be curious to hear your perspective. Chris recently was worked for a local land trust in southeast Wisconsin. Chris, I'm curious your thoughts on kind of the appraisers.
Yeah, so these types of appraisals are inherently different than a conventional appraisal of real estate. That being said, there are a number of appraisers throughout the state who either have firsthand experience or firsthand experience and some certification or credential related to conservation easements. I'm not familiar with a sort of a clearinghouse list of these appraisers. I would encourage you to reach out to your local land trust in your area and ask them if they have a recommendation for an appraiser who has that experience or has that credential. Typically, having somebody with that experience will actually facilitate a slightly lower cost than somebody who takes this on as a first time or maybe doesn't have as much working experience with it. So that's where I'll leave that recommendation.
Yeah, probably a good idea to get somebody who's he or she has worked with this in the past and kind of knows the ropes. What, by the way, what, Chris, what are you hoping to achieve in your first year? I mean, this, you're kind of new at it right now. What are you hoping for?
Well, with the Land Conservation Law Program, we really hope to, within this first year, really develop a program of services to make available to local land trusts. We want to develop relationships with them in this new capacity. Gathering Waters already has 30 plus years experience of relationships with these organizations. But as far as providing legal services, there's a bit of difference between that relationship and the relationship that Gathering Waters has previously offered. So really, we want to establish relationships. Really, by September, we hope to be offering these legal services in some form to mm-hmm. these land trusts. And with the long-term objective of having better conservation transactions, better conservation easement and fee simple transactions. Another piece that we're eyeing up for this first year is really developing a body of educational materials to provide to other legal practitioners and land trusts. We want to coordinate with the State Bar Association of Wisconsin to offer continuing legal education courses on the subject matter. So like our previous caller alluded to, we can have more professional support out there who have experience and knowledge around conservation easements.
Callers, several callers online. Let's go to Mark in Green Bay. Mark, thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I was wondering if a landowner would give up 100 acres for something like that. Do they get any money out of the deal? And if it does go into a trust, does all the public have to be allowed on the land, including hunters and everything?
Okay, good questions.
Yeah, so that's a really common question that we see. It depends is the answer. A conservation easement is a legal tool that can be tailored very specifically to a specific piece of land in a specific project. So one beautiful piece of a conservation easement is that the landowner does actually retain ownership of the land. What they're doing is permanently tying up, for example, development rights or other rights that relate to that piece of land in this legal tool called a conservation easement. So as it relates to public access, a lot of times that'll be dictated by the objectives of the landowner, by the objectives or policies of the land trust, or by funding partners. And that gets us to the question about, do you get money for it? In certain scenarios, you may be able to structure a deal where those are called purchase of development rights, where you actually sell your development rights to a land trust. A primary incentive for protecting land are the tax benefits associated with it. There's a provision in the Internal Revenue Code that secures tax benefits for certain types of conservation transactions. So in the general answer to the questions are, it all depends. And if you're interested in doing that, you can reach out to your local land trust to talk about what funding they have available, what their requirements are on public access.
Mark had mentioned, he just mentioned in passing, what if you don't want hunting on the property? As that's something like that, can that be put into the legal part?
Yeah. So that speaks exactly to the ability to tailor these documents to the project itself. So if for some reason the person who's looking to protect their property, has a bias against hunting and doesn't want to see hunting on that land, and if the land trust that's going to be holding the conservation easement is amenable to that, that's something that you could achieve through drafting your conservation easement.
Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Bob in Waupaca, we'll go to you next. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is there an ongoing cost if you put some land in a conservation? Is there an ongoing cost that the landowner does incur with the conservation association?
So, again, it depends on your agreement with the land trust that will hold that instrument, that legal instrument. In most scenarios, let me back off that for a second. There are ongoing costs. Whether they fall on the landowner or the land trust is somewhat negotiable with your land trust. A lot of times the land trust, and it's very common for a land trust to actually ask from the landowner a donation to support some of those ongoing costs, which they then bear over time. In other scenarios, the land trust might do a project-specific fundraising campaign to sort of maybe fundraise some of those ongoing costs. But there are absolutely ongoing costs. There are costs associated with holding a conservation easement. Whether or not the landowner bears that or the land trust bears that is not the same in every single transaction.
And just as to add to that, is the trust then responsible? And I suppose this is going to depend too. But is the trust responsible then for sort of the quote upkeep of the land itself?
So yeah, you're right. It depends. In most scenarios, the underlying landowner, the person who actually owns the land, will continue to be responsible for the upkeep of that land. Now, there are also, innumerable transactions that have happened where the land trust actually comes to own the land, not just the conservation easement, but they own the underlying title to the land. And in that scenario, the land trust would have ongoing management responsibility of that land.
Got it. Bob, thank you very much for calling. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Ross in Crawford County. Ross, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I have 70 acres over in Crawford County, a beautiful part of the state. I have a cold water stream and the area around it that I've been putting efforts into getting it into a sedge meadow. I have woodlands that I've been sort of working on trying to open up and maintain. And I'm starting to realize, and this program kind of cued it, is that I'm putting a lot of effort into this, and I don't have any kids or anything. And I sort of always knew that I was doing this of my own. But what is the criteria that these land trusts look? They might come to the land and say, oh, yeah, this is really beautiful, but it isn't what we're looking for? Or is it that as an owner and a land trust, you have the authority or the ability to determine what happens to your land as time marches on, and the land trust just tries to make that happen for you?
Hmm.
Sure. Yeah, great question, Ross, and sounds like a beautiful piece of property for sure. I love the Driftless area in Crawford County. It's a beautiful area. I would suggest really reaching out again to your local land trust, which in Crawford County would be the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, which is headquartered in La Crosse, and really a great organization, several professional staff. And, you know, they're really the ones who will know kind of what their land conservation criteria are and could really sort of help, you know, walk through with you what some of those options might be for long-term protection. And, you know, as I mentioned at the start here, you know, land trusts are nonprofit organizations with, you know, boards of directors, and they certainly need to be kind of strategic about how they're using their resources to conserve land in their service area. So they, you know, they do have criteria. They do, you know, have to kind of think long and hard about what projects they're able to take on and what they're not. But really, I think, you know, starting that conversation with the land trust staff is a great place to to kind of just really begin that kind of exploration. And I would say too, you know, just more broadly for some of your listeners, that I think we've certainly seen instances in the past where, you know, maybe in a certain time period, a land trust might be particularly busy or have, you know, kind of too many projects on the docket, where just keeping the conversation going, it would take a couple of years to really, until it was sort of the right time, when the right way to kind of sequence in a project. So I would just urge folks to be patient, kind of really start those conversations early. And again, you know, these are really professional staff that you'd be working with at Mississippi Valley. And I think they'll be able to answer a lot of your questions.
Yeah. Ross, thank you so much. Let's take another call. John in Stevens Point. John, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. I'm John Steyrolt from the Rough Grouse Society. I'm the Forest Conservation Director. I've done some advocacy work with Mike in the past, and I was just wondering if he could talk briefly about the importance of the Knowles House of Stewardship Fund for doing the work that trusts do in the state.
Yeah, John, thanks. And we did discuss it a little bit a half hour or so ago, but I think it's worth going into more detail on it, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, really appreciate the call, and just want to say how much we value our partnership, you know, with Rough Grouse Society and with, you know, a number of other organizations, Ducks Unlimited, Trout Unlimited, the Nature Conservancy, Ice Age Trail Alliance. I mean, just so many. I'd recommend folks take a look at, we've actually got a coalition website that's called teamknowlesnelson.org. Knowles is K-N-O-W-L-E-S. So Knowlesnelson.org, Knowlesnelson.org. And you can see the full list of partners that are involved in the coalition. And we've got a bunch of resources on there just demonstrating the economic impact of investments in this state program. You can sign up for action alerts. I think really wanted to highlight that from an earlier caller too, that I think there's no question that, you know, we can't take any of this stuff for granted, and we may see further threats to public lands and to programs like Knowles Nelson in the future. And the more people that we can have that are engaged and are willing to reach out to their elected officials, the better. But really, yeah, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program has been in existence since 1990. Came into existence under, you know, bipartisan support from, you know, both parties. And it has done a tremendous job of protecting just some of the most iconic, you know, pieces of public land, trails, local parks here in the state. Really, I'd urge anyone, if you go out to a local trail or park or to your favorite wildlife area or state park, keep an eye out. Sometimes you'll see a small sign that says the Knowles protected with funds from the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. And really, once you start kind of keeping an eye out for that, you'll start seeing them everywhere. And the impact is pretty dramatic. That we did some research to show that I think something like 90% of Wisconsinites live within 10 miles of a Knowles Nelson project. So it's had an impact in every corner of the state.
And, you know, I love the name of it because Warren Knowles, a Republican, and Gaylord Nelson, a Democrat, and both governors of the state at one point, were probably, you think about preserving natural resources and with those kinds of things in mind, maybe two of the best governors in my memory, anyway, of our state.
Absolutely. Yeah, truly just visionary leaders. And again, speaks to the public support that we see in polling, that this is just not a partisan issue at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John, very much for that question. You know, I did want to talk a bit more about the land trust days that are coming, you know, and I want to remind people there's so many things going on there, and Mike, maybe you can go back to that for kind of giving people an idea of what's going on over the next few months.
Sure. Yeah. And again, it's a lot of really good stuff. So we've got 37 events that are registered as part of Wisconsin Land Trust Days this year. This we've held Wisconsin Land Trust Days since 2018. But I think, again, this year we're seeing a lot more in-person events after a bit of a hiatus from that during COVID, the height of COVID. So really excited about more in-person events this year. And again, as I mentioned, we're actually kicking it off today. So this evening, I'm going down to the town of Dunn, just south of Madison, where the Groundswell Conservancy is hosting a food cart night, which we're excited to get down there. And so that'll kick off Land Trust Days. It's going to be on a really beautiful piece of protected property in the town of Dunn. But we've got, you know, everything from Tall Pines Conservancy in Waukesha County is going to have their 14th annual Ride the Barns biking event, which is on August 13th. There's a nature art field sketching, prairie plants. The Prairie Enthusiasts is also hosting that weekend. There's something called the Cassville Mushroom Foray that Mississippi Valley Conservancy is hosting on September 10th. Seed collection down at the Hakmatak Refuge down in Geneva Lake Conservancy and Kettle Moraine Land Trust are hosting on September 24th. And just a whole host of other kinds of events, migratory bird watching, which is always kind of a challenge to do in the fall, but definitely fun. There's a new event for this year called the Race for Open Space that Cedar Lakes Conservation Foundation's hosting in October, on October 16th. So really, I mean, kind of something for everyone in every corner of the state, you know, from far northern Wisconsin, northwest Wisconsin to far southeast Wisconsin, everything in between.
And again, for people to sort of find out what's going on in their area or what they might be interested, how do they find that whole list?
Yeah, so either on our website, which is gatheringwaters.org, or we also have a URL just for Land Trust Days, which is havefunoutside.org, which is the whole purpose of Land Trust Days is to get people outdoors having fun at these events.
Well, there are so many fun events that I'm glad we were able to at least talk about a few of them with you guys today, and just in conclusion, Chris, you're looking forward to this year ahead from the sound of it.
I am, very much so. I think this is an exciting time for Land Trust and an exciting program to Land Trust and. It'll be really interesting and exciting to see the impact it has and whether or not we can, you know, inspire additional land conservation and better land conservation over time.
Well, I know as all of the various approaches were described in your on your page, I think each time there was something, you know, be sure to consult with a lawyer. And so
yes.
It sounds like you've is going to be resolved a lot over this next year. And I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much, Mike and Chris.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you, Larry.
Mike Carlson, one of our guests, the executive director of Gathering Waters, and the other, Chris Guchenritter, excuse me, Chris, I'm sorry, Guchenritter. Our other guest, Chris, is the new director of the Land Conservation Law Program with Gathering Waters. And thank you for listening. Just to look ahead, tomorrow we'll look at the history of barns in Wisconsin. There's a new book out on that. And then 11:45, we'll find out what's new at Old World Wisconsin. It's an open-air museum, in case you didn't know. It showcases early rural life in the state. And there's lots going on there as well. And you know what? There's lots going on right through the afternoon, and I hope you stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us.